1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above, beyond that which you're able.
Amen.
But with the temptation will also make the way of escape.
Hallelujah.
That you may be able to bear it. So life has all sorts of pressures and challenges. And there's always, if you're with God, there's always a way of escape. So let's talk about the way of escape for us.
Come on.
No matter your trouble, no matter your challenge, whatever it is, there's a way. There's a way of escape.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean that you get to escape all of your responsibilities in life. It doesn't mean you get to escape your family. You don't get to escape your spouse. Oh, help me escape this. No. Help me escape this job. Help me escape this boss. He will help you escape the challenge you're facing. It doesn't mean he's going to completely snatch you away and put you somewhere else. People want to escape their city. I want to escape this apartment complex. Well, look, everywhere you go, you're there. Whatever troubles you had in one spot, you're going to have in the other spot. You can't escape the things that you've created in your own life anyway. So you're going to have to learn how to escape it God's way. So he's going to make a way for you. It may not be the thing you're wanting or thinking. We just want stuff to disappear. Like, just make all this disappear. Or make the good stuff all appear. That will help me. He will make a way. Sometimes it's miraculous. Sometimes it's with grace so you can endure. Sometimes it's with wisdom. Sometimes it's with leading from the Spirit so you know what to do and where to go. Sometimes it's with a new door. Sometimes it's with faith to open the door. Sometimes it's with a spoken word to you. Sometimes it's with a comfort to help you. Sometimes it's just with a strength to help you bear it. Notice this last part, that you may be able to bear it. So we're not just talking about always exempting you from all troubles. Sometimes he needs to help you bear it with an escape route. So let's talk about this and just kind of run through a few things that I know most humans deal with at any one time. It could be you. And so this is a list just of a few things, and we could extend this list as we move along here. We'll see what we do tonight. First thing I wrote on my list here was loss of hope. If you're dealing with a little loss of hope, don't have much expectation for the future, kind of losing heart to continue the race, there's an escape route for you, because with God, there's plenty of hope. If you'll turn to Jeremiah 29, you just have to believe the Bible more than your feelings. You have to actually have to get a scripture and put your eyes on it, put your heart on it, put your attention on it more than your hopelessness. You can't just sit on the couch in the dark. You can't just sit on the couch with the TV on. You can't just sit on the couch with your little thumb scrolling. You will get more hopeless and more hopeless and more hopeless. You're looking for hope in there, and it's just like, oh, I don't know. And then by the time you're done, it's like, oh, my gosh, I still feel hopeless. He will help you escape your little thumb addiction. We don't want to talk about that, though. We'll talk about other things tonight. This word temptation, with the temptation will make a way of escape, okay? He'll never let you be tempted or try. That word is the word for tempt, test, or try, or prove. It's pierasmos, temptation, pierasmos. The verb is piera. So it's the same word for test, temptation, prove, and trial. And you see it used throughout the New Testament in those different ways. So this is any test you face, any trial you face, any temptation you face. Now we know from James chapter 1 that any trial, temptation, none of that comes from God. He never tests or tempts or tries anybody with any evil. He'll never make somebody sin to put pressure on you to see if you're going to handle it well. God would never tempt anybody to sin. He would never shove anybody into your pathway to make your life miserable. He would never cause another person to sin against you to see if you're going to be a strong Christian or not. So don't think that everything you're facing, God planned it. You can't do that. You can't do that. Sometimes people do it to see if they can make it through. Like, if I know that God's involved in this, he gave this problem to me, I'll just go through it. Well, that sometimes helps people get through it, but it's false. It's false. It's like just numbing the pain rather than solving the problem. Truth is, God never tests us with evil. He never tempts us to sin. He never tests us with disease. He never causes tragedy or loss in your life. He's not the God of loss. He's not going to snatch something away that was valuable and necessary for your life. But people want to sometimes bring God in on their troubles and say, okay, well, he gave me this trial. I'm going to overcome it for you, God. Look, it is a trial, and you do need to overcome it for God, but don't insinuate that he put it there. Amen. Don't insinuate that he gave you trouble to see if you could be a strong little Christian and get through it. Don't do that. Let's separate God and his goodness from trials, temptation, and devil. Okay, well, not everything's from the devil. So let's say trials and temptation from the devil, trials and temptation from the world, trials and temptation. Just because we live in this earth, stuff is tough, right? Takes time to get an education. Takes money to do certain things in life. Takes a lot of effort and prayer and rigor and sweat to make a business go or to achieve or to get. It takes a lot of work to live this life, right? So let's separate devil, natural world pressures and trials and scenarios and leave God out of all the trouble. He knows trouble's coming. He's trying to prepare us for it. With the temptation that you're feeling right now, he's already made a way of escape. He's already got spiritual things in line for you to help you escape this trouble in some way. All right? Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29, you know the scripture here, verse 11. So if you're feeling a little hopeless, here's your way of escape. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Okay, so hold on a second. I know some people feel hopeless and depressed. I get it. Things hadn't gone right, discouraged, don't have a clue what to do next, lost, empty, just feeling like they're all alone. I get it. Okay, so get this scripture, this one scripture, just one verse here. God is thinking different thoughts. He knows what he's thinking about you, and it's good to give you a future and a hope. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Well, God, I've been through so much. How come you let? No, he's not thinking that. He's thinking good thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The hope is your desired destiny. Some future destiny of end result that is good for you. He's got good thoughts about your future. You need to believe that. How many believe that scripture on paper? Yeah. I would assume all of you say, yes, I believe that on paper. In your times of hopelessness and depression or sadness, you need to believe that instead. Yeah. Oh, wait, God's thinking good thoughts. I'm going to go ahead and think what God's thinking. I don't know what they are, but I'm going to think like God. I got good stuff coming, future and a hope coming, peace, no evil coming. Thanks, God. All right, so I'm going to show you here's how you escape. You don't just read that and go, oh, but my life is so bad. I know what the Bible says, but if you only knew what I was going through. Oh, my gosh. Listen, don't be a unbelieving believer. Don't be a little doubter of God's word. I'm trying to show you that you got to connect what's on paper to your reality. So you sit there on the couch and you turn everything off, but you don't just sit there in silence. You get that one scripture out and you say it to yourself. God's thinking good thoughts toward me. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Here's my way of escape right here. I'm going to start thinking different. I'm going to start getting on God's way of thinking. Okay. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if God would listen to you? Do you believe he's listening to you? I mean, if you live in Houston, you should know it because those bumper stickers say, God listens. Radio station, God listens. So everybody thinks God's listening, Most people think he's listening and not doing anything about it. Now, the truth is, if you'll pray right, he will listen. And if you don't pray right, he has the right not to listen. He knows what you're saying, but he's not listening. The scripture says if we pray according to his will, he hears us. If we don't pray according to his will, he doesn't hear us. He could if he wanted to, but he knows you're just flapping your lips. He knows you're just mumbling and grumbling and rehearsing your troubles to yourself. Anyway, you'll call upon me and go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you. The King James says, I will hearken to you. That means listen and obey. God says he will listen and obey you. He will listen and answer. Verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with at least a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of your time in your heart. You will seek me and find me when you search for me at least a little bit on Sunday. If you search for me a little bit. All right, so here he says, you will find me if you search for me in your spare time. No. If you seek me and you will seek me and find me if you search for me with all your heart. All your heart. All your heart. All your heart. Brother Maya says that's the longest word, the biggest word in the whole dictionary. All. All. All your heart. Have you ever done that? If you've ever sought him with all your heart, you got your answer. If you searched for him with all your heart, you found your way of escape. If you half-heartedly searched for him, I would say you probably didn't. I don't think you could get any quieter in this whole building. If you want to escape, he's made a way, but you're going to have to search for him the whole way. You're going to have to go all the way in your heart with God. You can't be just a halfway Christian. It's like, I don't know about all those spiritual people. I don't know if I want to be all that religious and all. I just want God to please bless me. Will y'all just please pray for me just so he'll bless me? No. It don't work that way. Why would he do that for you and didn't do that for us? He makes us seek us with his whole heart. Seek him with his whole heart. He's not mean and rigorous about it. I mean, surely, you know, young Christians, new Christians, he has great mercy. He'll answer the brand new Christian who's never sought him a day in their life. Sure, I'm not saying that. The principle, though, is that if you're a believer in God and walk with him, he'll always answer you if you seek him with your whole heart. Verse 14, I'll be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. If you feel in captivity or in bound or in bondage or stuck or oppressed or whatever you feel, he'll set you free if you seek him with the whole heart. Hallelujah. Well, how do you do that? Well, you got to get your Bible for sure. You're going to need your Bible. You're going to need to pray in tongues. And that means you need the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, you're going to need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost or it'll be extremely difficult. Like, you know, trying to do it with one hand tied behind your back or both hands tied behind your back. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get the power of God. Start praying in tongues with your Bible. Get around some good, strong Christians that are your friends, not the heathen. You can't be friends with heathen if you're going to stay strong. You can know them and love them and bless them, but you can't be connected as friends on a daily, weekly basis. You're going to have to be in a church so that you're trained and taught and connected to the family of God. There's an anointing with the family of God. There's a presence of God where God is able to reach us through the family of God if we're part of one. And it's more difficult for you to live your life, almost impossible, if you're not connected to a group of people. So God will have mercy on you for a short season, like 2 weeks, then you got to get back to church. Yeah, he'll give you 2 weeks in your Christian life to not be part of a church, but then you got to find a church. It's almost as quiet as it was earlier. For some reason, Christians don't want you to talk about having to be part of a church. They want to do their own thing. It's like we all feel like, I want to make my own decision. Please quit telling me what to do. Okay, well, here's what you do. God wants to tell you a whole bunch of things. It's like, here's what you do. People want to do their own thing. Okay, that's fine. Here, do this. Choose this as the thing you want to do. If you take this is your cross to bear. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. This is your cross. Your cross is not some trouble you face or some genetic defect that you might have. Your cross is taking up this in spite of you. You take up His will instead of your you receive His will instead of your will. So you give up yourself. You die to your will and you take His will. Praise the Lord. If you're, I mentioned social media, and part of it's kind of a joke because it's a leisure for a lot of people. But it also, if you're too into it, it'll steal your hope. It'll actually, by giving you so many things to think about and look at, and so many options and opportunities, and so many other people who are living life, it will pour that so heavy onto you. You won't, like, if you get a million choices, it's too overbearing. You can't choose. If you only had three choices, it's easy. You ever try to pick a paint color? You ever try to pick a flooring? We spent months looking for the flooring of this church. I mean, months. I mean, like 6 months. We waited till the very last moment to choose which flooring. We looked in every single store you could find. It was just amazing. We had sample after sample after sample after sample after sample. Knowing this is like a big decision that we're going to have to live with forever. Like hundreds of people are going to have to live with this decision we make. We looked everywhere in the whole city. In some places outside the city. I got samples from overseas. I carried this stuff in my car for months. And then we found the best flooring at Lowe's. What do you know? But it took all of that learning to pick the right thing. So I don't know why I got off on that. With all these choices, it puts a big burden on you. I mean, if we only went with the builder's first choice book, it would have been easy. Oh no, we got to go look for every option in the whole, pick the best in the whole wide world. For you, we pick the best in the whole wide world. So I would be very careful if you complain about the color of the carpet. Okay. But my point is, social media and media itself, just media, will cause you to lose heart. By flooding you with so much to think about, you can't live your life. You lose focus. And teenagers are dealing with that. There's more depression and hopelessness than ever before in the teenagers and in children. Rather than this destiny is outside the door and I can't wait to live my life and get out there and conquer something. Now it's like, oh my gosh, so much has been seen already. What do I do? So much input, they don't know what to do with it. Too much pressure on the teens because they've seen so much. So you have to figure something out. You have to figure something out. All right, let's move on here. So He'll turn your captivity. Sometimes the way of escape is because you feel in bondage. You need to be delivered from something, set free from something, set at liberty. Remember Jesus said that in Luke 4. He said He came to heal the broken heart, preach the gospel to the poor, preach recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bound or bruised, to preach the acceptable, it actually says, preach deliverance to the captives. Or the other one, new other translation, preach liberty to the captives. Set at liberty those who are bound. That's why Jesus came. So there's a way of escape so you don't have to be bound. You don't have to be bound with sickness. You don't have to be bound with temptation. If you're dealing with temptation, there's a way of escape. Now your flesh doesn't really want it. Your flesh doesn't want the escape. Your emotions don't really want the escape. For some reason, people get mad and they like it. You just want to spin around in your anger and in your judgment and in your harshness. It's a weird thing that the devil does in your fallen flesh. There's a way of escape for whatever you're dealing with. It could be a flesh thing, could be a mind thing, an emotional thing. Could be any kind of temptation. Temptation to sin with your mouth, temptation to sin with your body, temptation to grudge in your heart. There's a way of escape for you. The question is, are you going to do the Bible? Do you want to escape? Do you want to escape? Your flesh says, please, don't listen to this part of the message. Your flesh says, please, what is he talking about mine? Probably not, probably not. Probably not talking about my, tonight's not about me, it's about somebody else, I'm sure. Your flesh is like, please, let's, can we skip this part? If you're online watching, it's like, please, let's go to the bathroom right now. Everybody goes to the bathroom right about now. What about sickness and disease? There's a way of escape for you every single time. If you're feeling pressured by sickness, disease, and pain, there's a way of escape. There's no temptation or trial that you're facing that God has not made a way of escape for you. Okay? There's a way to escape sickness. Okay? Now, I would say let's go to God first and find the way. Let's just go to Him. He's the healer. Might as well just go first to Him. Put all your eggs in His basket. Amen. There's a good way. There's a good first thought. Let's go all the way with God. Let's put all our eggs in here. Let's go get healed by God since He's pretty powerful. Why don't we go first to God to get healed? Just go first to Him. Go second, go third, go fourth, go fifth. Why don't we spend 3 months going to God to get it before we try plan B? How many do that? Not many do that. Not many do that. Plan A is call the boom. First sign of trouble, bam, bam, gone. They go to plan B, they skip plan A, go to plan B, just bam. Quick as can be. Now, sometimes the doctor will be your way of escape. Sometimes the doctor will be your way of escape from a physical trial. If it is, you'll know it from God. If that's your way of escape, He will make a way. That might be the way He made for you, not because it's plan A, but because He knows you're having trouble with plan A. He knows you're having a little bit of doubt and trouble with going straight to Him to get a miracle. So He says, well, I know that you're going to have trouble receiving straight from me or getting prayed for and getting a miracle, let's go ahead and go to the doctor quickly. You follow me? So the doctor might be your way, but the Spirit should lead you there. Don't go to the doctor if you're not sure if you should go. Pray it through in the Spirit so that you know that's where I should go. You'll have a peace and just go in faith. Don't go to the doctor if you're not in faith.
Amen.
Don't not go to the doctor if you're not in faith.
Amen.
Don't say, oh, if I go to the doctor, it's going to look like I don't have any faith. Don't you dare do that. If you don't have your miracle, go to the doctor. Whatever is not done in faith is a sin. There's people that stay away from the doctor and they don't really have faith to do that. They're all nervous and worried. That's a sin. And some people go to the doctor thinking I shouldn't be going to the doctor. And that's a sin. Whatever you do, you're going to have faith. Do it in faith. Well, how are you going to get faith? You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to know God's will for you. So this goes into, and this is where, hey, look, if you're new to the Lord and walking with the Lord, He's going to have mercy on you and you don't know all this yet. But if you're walking with God, you're supposed to know His will and you're supposed to seek His will. You're supposed to pray in tongues until you have a clarity of what decision to make. If it's an emergency, I realize that's different. It's like, you know, if you're bleeding out, that's not the time to pray in tongues about the will of God. Bandage thyself and go to thy doctor and get thy stitches quickly. Hospitals aren't a sin and doctors aren't a sin.
Amen.
Neglecting God in all of your health decisions is. So seek the Lord and He'll make a way of escape somehow. What about chronic? What about terminal? What about terminal where the doctors haven't been able to solve the problem? What are you going to do then? God will make a way of escape for you.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean you have to die and go to heaven as your way of escape. People say, He made a way of escape, took him to heaven. Well, after the fact, we could say that, but let's not say that before the fact. If you haven't lived out your full destiny and have been satisfied in life, and if you have not completed the will of God and the plan of God for your life, that is not the way.
Amen.
He'll make the way of escape for you, even if there's a terminal report.
Amen.
Terminal report, all it means is doctors can't do anything. That's all it means. Apparently that wasn't your way. Apparently the hospital wasn't your way. If it's terminal report and you got X amount to live, that wasn't the way. That makes it kind of easy. Now you turn all your attention toward the Lord. The only problem with that is that some people wasted all their first months putting their faith in the wrong thing. And then it's the last moment, it's like, well, I guess I'll go to God now. And sometimes it's hard on their heart to go receive from Him. They're too scared. It's too much pressure. They've been through too much. And it's more difficult. He still makes a way. He still makes a way, but it's going to put a lot more load on your faith. Meaning you're going to have to really deal with yourself, get into your soul, and allow the Word of God to come to life.
Amen.
Okay? I'm just talking this Wednesday night crowd. I should be able to talk like this because this is important stuff. Because, you know, if you're going to be around Spirit-filled ministry, if you're going to actually be a Bible believer, the questions are going to come up about people who got prayed for and didn't get healed, people who, you know, seemed to love God but still didn't get their miracle, and there's this huge question about it.
Right.
How come this and how come that? There's answers.
Yeah.
Listen, there's answers. This is one of the answers. There's a bunch of different reasons why somebody might not quite get what they're asking from God, and it's never because God didn't make a way of escape.
Amen.
It always has something to do with our heart, our soul, the inward part of us that only us know. If anybody has 100% faith, they'll always get their miracle.
Amen.
There's nobody that's ever had 100% faith that did not get healed. So it's always something that you'll never know on the inside of anybody else but yourself. We don't condemn people. We don't look at people and say, you don't have faith. We don't do that because there's so much that we deal with on the inside of our soul. You're dealing with all your past. You're dealing with all your sins. You're dealing with all the guilt you might feel. It could be some ridiculous guilt you're feeling for something from long ago. I mean, anything. You could be dealing with all sorts of stuff inside you. Shortcomings, lack of spiritual pursuit, anything. All that we have to deal with. That's why we major so heavily on the blood of Jesus. Because it's hard to carry all that around.
Amen.
So for us believers, you have to stay clean on the inside, perfectly clean on the inside from all of that.
Amen.
How? Through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
All of your failures have to be washed by the blood so much that you don't feel guilty. You could have made 1,000 terrible choices in your past.
Mm-hmm.
The blood washes it away.
That's right.
So you live a life today thinking, I'm pretty good. Knowing that you failed doesn't matter because the blood has set you upright and made you feel wonderful.
Amen.
And if you can't get that clean in your heart, it's going to be tough to receive promises from God. If our heart does not, 1 John 3:21, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I would say it the other way. If your heart does condemn you or make you feel guilty for whatever, then you will not have confidence toward God. It will cause your faith to leak right out. You got to understand this, that you have to deal with the inside of you. Don't neglect stuff. If you're dragging around a bad self-image, you better deal with that.
Amen.
A bad self-image will stop you from getting all the way to Jesus. Okay? This is where you're going to have to lay down all of your past and all of your present, all of your future self, and say, you know what? I'm going to believe this. I'm going to go after God fully. I'm going to become a real spiritual person. There's not much I can do with you. I mean, it's not me doing it, but there's not much we can promise you if you're not going to decide to be spiritual. So people that just want to barely come, I don't know about all that spiritual religious stuff. I'm encouraged every time I come, but I don't know about going all that way. Okay, well, everything we're saying is not going to happen for you. I want it to. It's all here, but it's not going to happen for you if you don't make a full commitment and take a step toward God.
Amen.
In it.
Amen.
All right, so there's a way of escape. It does require something of us. Seek Him with the whole heart, not the back row heart. Now, it's okay if you're in the back row. But as long as your heart's got to be all the way up front. Sometimes people are trying to sneak out, and so their heart starts drifting back. Don't let that be you.
Amen.
I don't care where you sit, just don't let your heart go back. I don't know if I want to get too close to all this stuff in here, especially all that shaking people do. All right, let's do this one. What about the pressure of life decisions? There's a way of escape. We've all been there. It happens every other month or three. You got some big stuff to decide, and the pressure of it, it wakes you up. It sends you to bed. It's not fun. And you have to learn how to deal with that so that you don't carry it. You and I are not made to carry the pressures of life. You're not supposed to carry them. He's going to make a way for you so that you can bear it.
Right.
But you're not supposed to carry it. How do we know? Well, turn to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. We're talking about knowing what to do in life, making right decisions. I don't know what to do. You know, kids out of high school have to decide what to do. We don't want to put too much pressure on them. There's ways to help high school graduates continue on in a right direction without knowing everything that's coming. Like a 17, 18-year-old does not need to know what their ultimate career is going to be for the rest of their lives. Let's not insinuate that they have to, okay? Let's just help them head the right direction in the grace of God that they have, and then show them how to trust God and pray in tongues. You got to pray in tongues if you're going to find out your destiny. So that's all you got to do. Your business is not to decide. Your business is to pray in tongues so God can show. So you got to get the pressure off of you. But 1 Peter chapter 5 here. As you're seeking the Lord, you know, what do I do? Do I do this, this, that? No is a direction. Should I do this? No. You need to be confident in the no. That eliminates one of your options. Quit fighting for it so hard. God, I want to marry this one. I got to have this one. No. Oh, but God, I know that. No. No needs to move you on to the next option.
That's good.
Right?
Say it again.
No is a direction. Now, sometimes he can't give you the yes yet. But he can sure give you the no. Like if you hadn't hit the right option, you haven't heard the yes. If there's timing involved, you're not going to hear the yes sometimes. So you get a nothing. But if it's a no, you'll get the no. Sometimes people get the no and they think, well, let me just talk God into it. No. So in this journey, you got to learn to pray in tongues when you got to make decisions. You got to pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues so the Lord can direct you. And you got to trust. You got to trust that you're praying in tongues on purpose. Golly, it feels like I prayed forever. It's been 13 seconds. No, I'm talking about quit looking at your watch. Go sit down. Get away from everybody and just really grind it out. Pray until you quit thinking about how long this is going to take me. You got to pray in tongues like you mean it, like you're digging a hole, like you're cutting a tree. I am chopping this tree down. Not that tree. Don't be messing with our tree. I'm chopping this forest down. I got to chop this forest down, and I'm going to grind this out. And before long, you start doing it well, and you start swinging that axe, and man, you figure out how to do it. You start praying in tongues, you'll get better at it. And you'll know how it feels when you hit the power. You'll know how it feels when you hit the river. You'll know how it feels when the Spirit really takes you further. But you got to start. You got to start swinging that axe and praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues, praying in tongues and praying in tongues. And you got to do it about 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And then you'll know when you're done for the day praying in tongues. 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night, you'll know when you're done. The Spirit will give you a confirmation. Hey, you've done a good job here. We got somewhere. And then the next day you're going to do it, and the next day you're going to do it. And you're going to keep praying in tongues Not worried about your decision. Don't be thinking about your decision that you got to make. Just pray in tongues, trusting that once you hit through the whole forest, you'll get to the clearing.
Amen.
You'll chop all these trees down. You'll get to the clearing and be like, wow, I know what to do now. What that is you trusting the Holy Spirit to line your pathway. He's order your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Remember that? Commit your way to the Lord and he will bring it to pass. This is you committing your way. This is you allowing the Holy Spirit to remove obstacles in the pathway, to prepare a highway so that it's not so difficult as you're heading down. This is you allowing God to do what's necessary in the earth to get you where you're supposed to be. If you don't pray in tongues, you will have a very difficult time.
Amen.
It's one of the advantages that Spirit-filled tongue talkers have over everybody else in the whole world. We get to pray the perfect will of God without knowing it.
Amen.
We get to pray the perfect will of God through the Spirit. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We don't know what to pray for. So don't think. Don't try to figure it out. Just let the Spirit bring it. And he'll strengthen you. He'll edify you. And then if you do this consistently, even for a big decision or for the fact that you don't really know what decisions are coming, just stay prepared. But if it's a big one, pray it through until you know. That's your way of escape. Your way of escape is to pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues.
Amen.
Because all the good stuff from God comes when you pray in tongues. You'll understand the Bible better. You'll remember the Scripture better. You'll be able to apply the Scripture better. You'll be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. He'll be more able to convict you. He'll be more able to arrest you and lead you and guide you and stop you. And if you'll pray in tongues, you'll be able to hear the no.
Come on.
Now, you'll have to have faith to say, okay, I heard the no and I'll obey the no. Don't want to, but I'm gonna. Lord, I want to eat the whole cake. No. Lord, I want my cake and eat it too. Now, that's a yes. Who would want a cake and not be able to eat it? I want the cake and eat it too. Not the whole cake, but I want to eat the cake that I have. Thank you very much. I know that there's some reality to that saying, and it's twisted. If you go look at the history of it, it's kind of funny. I can't remember what it was, but we twisted it up so it doesn't sound right now, but there was a real meaning of it. That's very important to know tonight. Let me say this as well, praying in tongues. Okay, could a person ever pray too much? And we all think, oh, no, you can't pray too much. But you can pray too much. Sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves by thinking, oh, I could never pray so too much, so how much do I have to pray? No, you could pray too much, and this is why. The Spirit is going to lead you in prayer. Right. He's going to pray with you and pray through you, and he's going to get the will of God accomplished through you.
Right.
He's helping you pray. He's giving you the utterance.
Right. That's right.
And then when you're done praying, he will give you a note of completion, a note of praise,
right,
a note of peace, comfort, where you're praying in tongues for sometimes 20 minutes, and it's like, wow. Thank you, Lord. I see. I'm going to work now. I feel good now. There's a note of completion that if you'll get sensitive to the Spirit, you'll know when to stop praying.
Amen.
Why is that important? Because you could keep praying. Why is it important to stop when it's time? Because if you go on praying in the flesh, you will put undue burden on yourself. No telling what will happen if you just keep fighting your way in prayer when you don't need to. You're taking it upon yourself. So there is, now 13 seconds isn't enough. I'll just tell you right now. Let's be realistic here. If you're only getting 3 minutes in a prayer a day, I'm probably going to need more. Like one day, okay, 3 minutes might get you there. But usually you might need to do a little bit more than 3 minutes. So let's be realistic and follow the Spirit in this. Think of it this way, in getting direction and making sure you're doing the will of God and all that, God won't give you more than you can bear. So if you feel like in life you've got too much on you, if you have too heavy weight of a weight, you have too much responsibility, and it's breaking you, and it's causing emotional strain, distress, depression, anxiety, then what you've done is you've taken too much upon yourself. Either, there's two options. Either you have not walked closely with God, and you've lost your spiritual strength, so you can't handle the affairs of life. Or you've taken too much on yourself. You're trying to control too much in your life, and therefore you feel too pressured. Figure which one that is and cast the rest to God. You're going to have to let go of some things sometimes that you really have no business controlling or managing or supervising or overseeing in your life. Sometimes people's daily life. Some people don't have all that much responsibility, but the way they're handling it, it's robbing them of all their peace. You don't have to live like that. There's a way to trust God with all the stuff that you really can't control anyway. Especially when it comes to people. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 5. Are we there? 1 Peter chapter 5. I guess we'll end soon. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Okay? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. A lot of our problems is because we're not humbling ourselves. We think we're in charge. We think it's all up to us. That's not very humble. Why don't you recognize where your strength runs out and you have to rely on God? Let him be your carrier of troubles, cares. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Mm-hmm. One translation, NIV, says, cast all your anxiety on the Lord. Anxiety and care, same thing. Remember in Philippians chapter 4, it says, be careful, King James says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, the other translations usually say your anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. Amplified says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, so casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. We'll just throw the be sober part in there. It just means have your mind right. Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil. So let's get this casting your care part done today, all right? Part of your escape route is you have to cast your care. We know you care about it, and this could be anything. It could be your financial concerns, could be your direction in life, could be your relationships, could be your emotions, could be your depression. Whatever care you have, responsibilities, children. I mean, if you've got children, you've got cares, don't you? Every parent must learn how to cast the care of their children onto the Lord. Right. It'll make it easier for you. You'll still have to chase them around the house. There'll still be a lot of work to do, but you won't have the burden. You won't have the care. You won't have the fear. You won't have the worry. You won't have the dismay. If you learn how to cast your cares to the Lord, how do you do it? The Spirit will show you. You have to let go in your soul of this burden. You're struggling financially for years, months, whatever. Cast the care somehow, because it dogs you. It burdens you. You're always thinking about how much you don't have. If you can't cast that to the Lord, it'll be difficult to escape it. Your way of escape is you got to keep the care off of you. Right. You'll find that life is so much easier. The door is so much clearer. The door opens so much easier if you keep your cares off of you. If you keep your cares on you, if you hold all of your cares so tightly, meaning in your thought life, you're waking up with your cares, you're thinking about your cares, you're praying about your cares all the time, then God can't get hold of them. You got troubles, if you're latched on, then he can't take them. You got it? I care deeply. The phone's not a good example here. I care deeply about this. This is my life. I care so much. I'm praying so hard. God, in Jesus' name, help me. Why won't you help me? You ever prayed like that? Nothing happens, does it? Until you cast your care to the Lord. That was your one big chance, brother. You don't want to be God? Okay, let's try it this way. This is my care, my prayer request. I'm praying hard about this. Big deal to me. Big deal to me. Oh, God, help, 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 help. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, I found a scripture. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, help me, help me, help me, help me. Ah, thanks, God. Help me. In Jesus' name. Help me. 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 Everybody pray. Pray, 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 pray. I mean, I'm trusting God, right? I'm believing God, right? I'm praying. I know the Bible. The problem is I have not let go. I'm holding too tightly on the thing that I desire or need or my stress, my question, my whatever you got that's wrong, you're holding too tight. All you got to do is let go. Step away. I've cast my care. It's still my keys. Still my keys. Still mine. It's got my name on it. But I'm not holding it. My Heavenly Father's holding it. Now He can do what He's got to do with it. Sometimes you need to walk away from the trouble you're facing a little bit so that you can stop thinking so hard, stop worrying so much. Just for a moment, just ignore it for a while. That's why we tell people don't look in the mirror for a week if you've got a problem on your face. If you have a physical problem, try to ignore it as long as you can so that you can disconnect from the care of it. Now, it's hard when you're in pain every day. I get that. But that's the challenge of physical healing, right? That's why spiritual forgiveness is easier than physical healing. Shouldn't be. We did this on Sunday. You know, Mark chapter 2, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say arise, take up your bed and go home? They're supposed to be. They're technically the same. They're the same ease. You can get forgiven as quick. You can get healed as quickly as you can get forgiven. But it's more difficult on the physical side because you can see it and feel it. That's all I got. Thank you. Now, at any time I could come back to God with my worrying and take this care right back. But if I will just leave this with God, He can do what He's got to do with it.
Amen.
This could even go so far as the salvation of your family. Wow. Quit worrying about it so much. Quit over-praying about your people.
Preach it.
Quit, because sometimes your over-praying is just your expression of how dreadfully emotional you are and worried about their life. Oh, I'm just so worried that my child will go to hell. Well, if you could quit worrying, God could fix that. All right, cast your care to the Lord, for He cares for you. Everybody say it out loud. Say, He cares for me.
He cares for me.
I'm casting my care to Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You got it? Has everybody escaped something yet? At least you know how to escape. So, none of us should be bound because the Lord Jesus has set us all free.
Amen.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we have to do whatever it takes to stay free. You cannot get in bondage to the devil or temptation or pressures of life. You cannot be in bondage whatsoever.
Amen.
We owe it to the Lord. I mean, He paid His life for this, for us to be free. So you fight the fight of faith to be free. This is the good fight of faith. To get free and stay free from all the stresses of the world, temptations of Satan, all the evil and destruction that we face, it's a good fight of faith to stay free from it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's why we're in church. We don't have to go to church to be saved, do we? How about this? We stay in church so we can stay free. If you're not in church, you ain't free. You're in bondage. In some way, you're in some severe bondage out there. First of all, you're way too worldly. I guarantee you're way too worldly. The lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I guarantee you're way too worldly if you're not in church. So your way of escape from the world is get to church.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.